We have come to that point in our service where we want to say thanks. That has been the theme over the last number of days, the gift. And when Jillian and I were putting together the Christmas card that we sent out inviting folk along, the text that came to mind, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. If you read the authorized version, it will say unspeakable gift. And I remember one clever preacher making the point that don't ask questions about it because you can't describe it, it's unspeakable, so how can you say anything about it? But then the Bible spends a lot of time talking about it. And we spent a lot of time over Christmas actually talking about what this gift is. And really what the force of the words are, it's beyond all telling. And it was interesting at the Lord's table on Sunday morning that one of the boys who prayed stopped and said, Lord, just can't find words sometimes for what we want to say to you because of what you have done for us. The absolute immensity of what God has done for us is unbelievable. The gift of God, and that's what Christmas is all about. It's a gift beyond all imagination. Only those who, by the Holy Spirit, know him begin to understand all that God has for them, all that God has preferred for them. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man, those God, things that God has prepared for him. We stand on the edge of immensity. We stand on the edge of eternal life. Yes, it's forever, but the depth of knowing God, of the day when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, when all sickness, sin, and dying and death will be gone forever, when the fullness of what Christ has done for us will be ours. It is absolutely beyond telling. Over recent months, as we've been working our way through Micah, again and again, I've sat in the study and just tried to imagine some of the things that God has prepared for us. And it's impossible to get there because there's always that fallenness about our world. But that's the gift that we remember this morning. The gift that he gave in his one and only son. And like all good gifts this morning, it's a gift that was planned. Planned from before the world began. Always in the heart and mind of God. And we have taken time over recent days to remind ourselves through all of the Old Testament, right from the Garden of Eden right down through, God made his promise. The day is coming when I will turn back the sinfulness, when I will turn back the death, when I will turn things over. He made the promise to Adam and Eve in the garden, through the line of Seth, down to the line of Noah, from Noah to Abraham, from Abraham right through to David, from David right through to the Mary and Joseph in the line of David in the town of Bethlehem. It was something that God worked all through time. Opposition all around, but through it all, through the weakness and the failure of mankind, God kept his promise. And in the fullness of time, when the time had fully come, at the moment when God chose, and the moment when God's plan had reached its fulfillment, he sent forth his son, made of a woman. We are not here to remember things that happened by accident. It was no chance. And as we read this morning from the words of Simeon, he was very conscious that he held that child in his arms, that the fullness of what God had promised. God himself had come, the light to lighten the Gentiles. God had kept his promise. It was planned. And a good gift is always planned, and a good gift is prepared. It's made very suitable. When you know, you need to know the person. You need to look at what they're having and what they need and what it is that will bless them. And that's the great thing that God has done for us. He has given us a gift that absolutely meets our need. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this: we have a high priest who meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He is one who entered our world. He took our human nature upon him, and there he is able to sympathize completely because he has gone through the darkness and all the temptations and the trials of this world, and yet he is without sin. He stands as the second Adam who triumphed where the first Adam fell. He stands as the one above all others who could take our place. And in our place, he could purchase an eternal redemption. He could, for us, prepare a salvation that he said of himself, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it in all its fullness. It's a gift that was planned, a gift that was prepared, and a gift that was paid in full. You know, one of the things that you'll not happen to you today is when you get the gift from whoever it is that you love really close to you. But when my wife gives me the gift this morning, she's not going to say, and by the way, there's the bill. A gift is always paid for. A gift is always free to you. And that's the great thing about God's gift. It was paid on the nail. Paid on the nail. I chose that phrase because it takes us to the cross. It takes us to that moment when the nails pierced his hands and his feet. When God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that we might be transformed and made new, that we might have life in all its fullness. He paid the price on the nail. That's the great gift we've been given. And we want to say thank you this morning, but the danger is this, that sometimes you get the odd person who's really ignorant. And they say, do you think I want that? Do you think you're going to buy me with that? Get lost. That's terrible bad manners. Even if it's a pair of socks this morning, you're going to sort of take it and say, okay, yeah. But there's maybe some people here this morning, and God's gift, you've said no thanks. No thanks. The greatest gift in all the world, free and without cost, life in all its fullness. Thanks, but no thanks. Or maybe all awakened to the great need to say thank you to him. But you notice the other difference of being half-hearted thanks, and I think that's the way you take socks most of the time. You look at them and say, oh, not more socks. Not more socks. We're a bit half-hearted about it. Say, thanks, that was lovely. Thank you very much. And you know, the danger is as Christian people, we can get a bit half-hearted. We can get so familiar with it that actually the fun and the family and the food that we're all going to enjoy today, no bah humbug, but they actually do take the main place. And the wonder of the gift drifts out to the side. The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ holds me in a vice. Oh, that we each one this day could afresh feel the hold of the love of God in Christ. And with all our hearts thank him, because that's the last thing. We can say thanks in all its fullness. I'm going to get told off when I go home. But 30 years ago on the 29th, my son was born. And I went into the ward late as usual. And there he was lying. And I broke down in tears. My heart was filled with thankfulness. It was the most wonderful thing that ever happened. And you know, friends, that's something that you and I need to remind ourselves of today. The love of God in Christ. Thanks in all its fullness. I'm not one for emotionalism, but I am one for emotion. Because when we love somebody, we show it. And the thanks that we have for him must be the love of our heart and our life and all that we have. And so we take this moment to say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.